This is Colourful.
We've had a number of deaths this week, a number of passings. We talked about the passing of Arrow, as in
hot,
just 2 days ago in the island of Montserrat. On the same day, Frank Crichlow, a man who'll be known to many of you political watchers, especially from the 70s and 80s. He's the founder of Mangrove and was a very well-known activist and who helped a number of people cut their political teeth some 30 or so years ago. We've got two of them on the line. One is Lee Jasper, well-known as a former advisor to Mayor Ken Livingston on policing and equalities, and George Shire, who's a writer and a political activist as well of Zimbabwean origin. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning, Ben.
First of all, to you, Lee, I heard about the passing of Frank Crichlow from you on your Facebook site. Can you tell us a bit more about Frank and the contribution he's made?
Well, for anybody who knows anything about West London, then the Mangrove Community Association has a sort of long, deep history of social activism, fighting against racism, particularly police oppression in the dark days of the 70s and 80s. Frank was a father figure, came from Trinidad, a man of deep integrity and one who really committed himself, often at his own expense, to work with communities, to provide support, both in terms of welfare support, in terms of when people died homelessness, Frank would bury them. He would organise the early carnival in All Saints Road, Notting Hill. Of course, most famous for the Mangrove 11 trial in 1972, when protesting against police brutality, he himself, Darcus Howe, and very many other early pioneers were arrested, and a famous trial in which all were acquitted followed. Again, that was followed. Mangrove was always a point of friction between a police service that was almost indescribably institutionally racist in today's terms, who focused on...
And Lee, when did you first encounter Frank Crichlow? Just why was he so influential in your early political life?
Well, I come from having served some time in Strange Ways Jail. I went to university on my release, and coming out, I came straight to London, and I happened to find Frank Crichlow in Notting Hill calling for support for 12 people who'd been wrongly arrested. And so that was in 1986. And I worked, I ended up going to a meeting, and I stayed there for around 10 years.
Wow.
Such was the power and magnetism of Frank, a lovely family man, a inveterate campaigner against all sorts of social justice. And this wasn't a race thing with Frank. I mean, having established in the early 60s the Mangrove community, the Mangrove restaurant, Christine Keeler, Mandy Rice Davis, all the major pop stars, and John Profumo, all of them drank and came and ate in this West London powerhouse. And
I think Jimi Hendrix went there as well, didn't he, Lee? I think Jimi Hendrix was also somebody who
Jimi
went
Hendrix,
there.
Jimi Hendrix, Bob Marley, Frank Sinatra. I could list you a name, a list of names who frequented Frank's restaurant in the early 60s and 70s. An absolute tragic loss to the community, but what a powerful figure of inspiration.
He was a big supporter of the carnival, wasn't he? And when it was under attack by sections of the right-wing press, he stood up and fought back. I think they tried to fit him up in 1988, I believe, and he spent 6 weeks in prison awaiting trial, something, as you mentioned, he'd done before a jury threw out the charges, which were, at the time were related to drug dealing.
Well, what was remarkable about that trial, of course, and you're right, is that 12 people were arrested. And 12 people were acquitted by 12 individual juries. on that point, the police, under the auspices then of Chief Inspector Paul Condon, who later went on to become the Commissioner of Police, who led the raid on the Mangrove on that night, and everybody was charged with possession of 100% heroin and cocaine. All were eventually acquitted in a case that was a complete political fit-up for in an attempt to target a black organisation.
Uh-huh.
And a marvellous supporter from Carnival.
He certainly was, and influential. And you mentioned the number of people, the range of well-known stars. Jimi Hendrix, of course, whose 40th anniversary of his passing takes place tomorrow. And both Jimmy and Frank were influential in the early political life of our other guest who's on the line, George Shearer. That's right, isn't it, George?
Yes, it is. And I just want to kind of carry on from where Lee has just said about the significance of Frank will be felt for many years to come, particularly those students of cultural studies, a trendy subject these days. I mean, the key thing is this. It's not just Frank Crichton that was important, if it might be. It's that link between black culture and black politics. Now, nowadays, you walk into any African Caribbean restaurant, it's just money. I mean, I'm not blaming people making money, but in those days, you couldn't walk into a black restaurant and not simultaneously also talk about black politics. That link is what symbolizes both Frank Crichton and Jimi Hendrix, the link between black culture and black politics. In Frank's case, I mean, most of the some of us who came from Southern Africa in the early 70s, coming out from a liberation war, the mangrove was the place to go and sit and reminisce both about home, but also how to find another political home. And I think that Frank Crichton was central to that. No one could write the history of Carnival and the significance of British black culture without the figure of Frank being center stage. And his contribution is enormous. And for me, rest in peace, he's a soldier, my brother, and I hope I meet him in the fire next time. That's what I would say as an intro. I mean, there are a number of people who frequented the area or the mangrove in its early days. Christine Keller, Mandy Rice Davis, Jimi Hendrix, Sammy Day Jr., Vanessa Redgrave, Lord Gifford. That alliance between black politics and popular and social life generally is also another aspect of Frank Crichton. So we're talking about somebody whose real impact on our understanding the existence of black history in this country is enormous. And I think it is in that context that both in different ways, Jimmy on one hand, as somebody many people really never thought of as a black performer, who really was in many ways really as a kind of anti-war figure. You know, Star Spangled Banner is like committing treason in the way in which he pillories the United States for war in Vietnam. Would like to see black politics doing the same about Afghanistan and Iraq. That's Jimmy for you. And in many ways, Frank Crichton does that too, in and through food and community politics. That's through the kind of nature of, maybe now is the right time to return to these questions, partly because the traffic, the movement, the journey of young black men into prisons, into prisoner justice system, exceeds the movement of black people into education. And that is not happening by accident. Maybe it's about time we went back to that moment of black resistance by politics. And in that vein, I welcome the formation, the coming together of an organization that Lee is very much involved in called Barrack.
Okay, let me bring Lee back in because we're running out of time and really enjoying this. But as you said, Frank was a big community figure, but a massive figure in Notting Hill. I know that, you know, in later life, he was really sort of concerned about the idea of carnival selling out to big business. And he believed strongly that the carnival belongs to the community. Where was he at in terms of the carnival, you know, in recent times, literally like this carnival, the one before? How was he demoralised, Lee?
He was increasingly demoralised, and of course, we had long conversations and many political interventions during my decade down as one of the mangrove key activists. And he fought long and hard for a rejection of sponsorship, not in the sense that all sponsorship was bad, but he wanted the essence of carnival, which is its link with politics. If you ever went on All Saints Road, and Henry will know this well, during the time Frank was arrived, then you would see from the beginning of All Saints Road to the end, the stalls of the ANC, then deemed a terrorist organization by Margaret Thatcher. You would see the stalls for the people who are campaigning against death in custody and those who are campaigning for rights, either for the Caribbean or whatever, running the whole gamut of the street. This was deeply frowned upon, not just by the police, but by the carnival authorities themselves, who thought that politics had no part in carnival. And it was this passionate desire to see carnival not only as a successful business model, but one that would generate resources to fund support support for ex-offenders, to fund support for people who were struggling with literacy and struggling to get into employment. That was his great vision and his great passion. And he bemoaned and lamented the fact that Carnival had become a McDonald's Carnival, in his view, and was likely to lose its grasp on its central feature, which was the political celebration of freedom from slavery on the days that the one day a year that slaves were allowed to parody their masters in a carnival on those days. So
okay.
He was a great passionate believer in carnival.
Thank you very much indeed, Lee. Indeed. Thank you very much to Lee Jasper and George Shearer on the legacy of the late Frank Crutchlow and, of course, Jimi Hendrix, whose 40th anniversary of his passing takes place tomorrow.
This is Colourful.